The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope.
It's nothing you did.
It's not you, it's me.
It's not you, it's you, but you didn't cross me.
And the Bulldog.
Why did I choose? Why did I just stay in school?
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. Game three of the finals tonight in South Florida. George Richards with us now. He's been covering the Panthers for many years. Now as the publisher with FloridaHockeyNow.com. George, nice of you to talk to us on a game day. I guess I still have scar tissue from being around baseball in the mid-90s and once maybe daring to approach that night's starting pitcher and still walking around with the damage. How are you?
How are you? What's going on?
When do you get to the arena normally on a game day?
On a game day? Like a normal game day or a today game day?
Maybe it's different today. Game three?
It's a little different today. Usually I get here about an hour and a half before. And right now I'm sitting in the gigantic parking lot here in Sunrise with the sunshade up because it's 90 degrees.
All right.
And yeah, great hockey weather. We're people are fired up.
How is that all going down there, George? We all know this is a third straight year in the finals. Would you say like the season attack, like is it taken hold maybe how Tampa has a few years ahead of you in Florida? Like is it stable to the point where like you can't imagine this market not having a team anymore?
Yeah, I think you can say that just because of the ownership with Vinny Viola taking over. He's really transformed this hockey organization. Just like Vinick did in Tampa, right? I mean, you've seen the growth around the Tampa Bay arena with everything that's going on there. And in the Panthers, yes, a couple years later, but they've built a similar setup. Two completely different markets, however. You know, this is still a different place, but probably more, you know, it's like Los Angeles almost. I mean, it's just big. There's people from everywhere else. But yeah, I mean, the Panthers have truly taken hold in this market, and you know, you've got people from all over just, you know, jumping in. And listen, you know what you guys are going through in Buffalo with not making the playoff. The Panthers started that, right? I mean, the Panthers went from 2000 to 2012 without making the playoffs. They make the playoffs. They finish in last place, you know, the next year. And they just never had any sustained winning, and it was tough to grow down here. And now you see the consistency. You see this team year after year, not just the Stanley Cup Finals, but starting in 2019-2020, every year getting better. And people feel like they can be part of this now, as opposed to, say, the Miami Marlins, who every couple years, oh, I love this play, I love Jazz, gone. Gone. Right. You know what I mean? You know, the Marlins right now are looked at as like a Triple A team of other teams.
Well, George, we were talking about this last week one day, and one of my favorite things about this Panthers team is that they finished at the top of the league three seasons ago now. And I remember talking to you late in that year because they were in a race for that last playoff spot in the East with the Sabres. And I remember joking with you how long it had been since I had talked to a reporter from a team the Sabres were playing that night because the games just hadn't been that important in a long time. And anyway, we know how that went. But the thing is, like, even in the midst of that, that year was an overhaul year. They won the President's Trophy and then blew it up. And I think that takes a lot of guts. And they did it. And Tkachuk has been, I think, well, you can tell us, it seems like a franchise changer.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you look at that 2022 team that won the President's Cup, and everybody's riding high, and the Panthers are beating everybody 8-4, 7-3. Then they get into the playoffs, and they struggle a little bit against Washington. They very well could have lost in the first round to Washington. They survived that, win in six. Then they just get absolutely stomped by the Tampa Bay Lightning in round two. And the Panthers are like, this is not how we're going to succeed. I mean, we can win all we want in the regular season, but if this is how it's going to go in the playoffs, we got to change our team. And they did. They hired Paul Maurice as the coach. They made that big trade, sending Jonathan Huberdeau and Mackenzie Weegar to Calgary for Matthew Tkachuk. And he has been a difference maker. You look at Sasha Barkov as the captain of this team. They are two different people, and they complement each other extremely well. But, Matthew Tkachuk has absolutely been a franchise changer for the Florida Panthers.
And then eventually Sam Reinhart in there too. George, yep. So I'm, if you don't mind, more curious about just like, because Bulldog referenced, we talked about the massive, relatively recent growth of that team the last few years. You know, we've been here a long time, and I don't think it's anything that's news to you to hear somebody say like the Northeast hockey fan would often condescend to the teams in the Southeast or the fans. You know, you have half empty buildings, and like Buffalo is trying to get somewhere in this sport for so long, and you're watching Vegas pop up a team and win immediately, and just on and on. What more? I mean, I don't want to ask you to just go on all day, but what are the key points in how the Panthers made that jump so that like they have this incredible scene there that aren't just simply winning games? I think it has to be more, whether it's marketing or something else, to get to a point where now you have like a really great scene there.
Well, palm trees help, right?
Yeah, that's what I've been told.
No. Just kidding. Listen, they've built a culture. And you talk about the Sam Reinharts coming here and the Sam Bennetts. And obviously Matthew Tkachuk, but Radko Gudas, Carter Verhaeghe, Anthony DeClaire. These players, people fell in love with it, the way the team played. And their style of play and just their personalities on and off the ice. They do a very good job of marketing this team, but it did come down. This is call it front running if you want, but this is a big event town. People just don't want to be, people want to be seen at things down here. And a winning team certainly helps that. Listen, Phil Zito took this team over in 2020 after the bubble. Florida gets knocked out in the play-in round against the Islanders. Dale Talon, they part ways. They bring in Bill Zito. The first thing he does, 10 days into the deal, he brings in Patrick Hornquist, and everything changes from there. There's only four players left on this team from when Bill Zito took over. You would think that's a complete teardown, right? That's a complete rebuild. You're going to go through years. You're moving that many players. This team has gotten better every single year. Because of the players that they've added, because of the pieces that they've added, and players want to be here. This is for the first time become a destination franchise because of the ownership, because of what they've done. They built a training facility in Fort Lauderdale. Why? They like Fort Lauderdale? No, because all the players live there and they can ride their, drive their golf carts there. They've done all the little things that are big things,
Makes sense.
Mike referred to Reinhart eventually getting there, George, and that's a player obviously we're intimately familiar with here in sure. Buffalo, where he began his career. And this show, myself, Mike, I think I speak for him. We were bullish on Sam Reinhart. But with that said, I'm not surprised he became a top shelf scorer in the league necessarily in the right spot. The two-way play, like him getting Selke votes, is not something I ever had on my scorecard. Can you talk a little bit about his evolution since he arrived there, what you thought the Panthers were getting and what they now have in Sam Reinhart?
He's just a guy that, hates to lose, and he was miserable losing. I remember his last year in Buffalo, they had him at center. He was terrific there. He scored all those goals late in the year. But then he comes here. And, he starts playing with Anton Lindell and Etti Luostarinen. And that's where I think that's where the defensive change kind of happened. But, he had 58 goals last year, and he got Selke votes. This year he finishes second in the Selke, playing with Barkov. And, Barkov is, the new Selke king. And you've got Barkov and Reinhardt playing both ends of the ice. Neither player has scored in these finals, and Paul Maurice couldn't be happier with their play because they're going against McDavid and Draisaitl, and they're doing all this stuff to slow those guys down. They're doing what the Panthers need to be done. Reinhardt's been, you know, absolutely terrific here. He signed a deal that probably, last year, what was the talk? Reinhardt has completely priced himself out of the Panthers' plans because of the season he had. And then he signs here for a contract that he could have gotten a lot more somewhere else. He loves playing here. He loves playing with this team. He's a gigantic part of the fabric of the Florida Panthers. And, his game has just gone to another level.
Bulldog may have asked you this. Did you expect it? Like, he's not wrong. We both really liked Reinhardt. And that might not sound like anything because you might think, like, why wouldn't you? But he wasn't Eichel in terms of just, like, looking undeniable. Just more nuanced game, more complete maybe, whatever. Eichel's great, too. But when that trade happened, was he for you somebody like, all right, that is a great get?
Yeah, I mean, I when that happened on the, what was it, the draft day, the COVID draft, or the second COVID draft, where you were like, yeah, if, you know, the first night it was rumored, and it was like, man, that's a huge get for the Panthers, and then it becomes official on day two, and you're like, wow, what a nice piece, especially because Florida had already hit on Sam Bennett, a player who was misused in Calgary. Brandon Montour had come at the deadline previously. So Brandon Montour ends up re-signing with the Panthers. And it just seemed to be a real nice fit. He was just a real nice addition. And again, another guy who I talked to him about 2-3 months ago, we were talking about that deal going down, and he goes, yeah, you know, I was a restricted free agent. I was like, did you tell them you would only go to Florida? You know, kind of like, you know, Matthew Tkachuk had a list of three teams, and he kind of winked, and it was like, I didn't really, yeah, they knew where I wanted to go, and they knew they knew to send me there or it was going to be a problem. So he kind of manipulated things to get here. I was like, well, why? Florida hadn't really done anything, right? I mean, they hadn't done anything. Why would you want it? He was like, because you could see it. You could see the way this team played. You could see that the way that they worked together, that he wanted to be a part of it. And I think that's kind of one of those turnaround deals for a player where you want to be somewhere, you want to be part of it, and maybe, you know, your whole perception of life changes.
You know, you mentioned when we were talking about Reinhardt a few moments ago that everyone thought he was going to play his way out of Florida because they just wouldn't be able to afford to keep him. Right. And now you mentioned Bennett. And same draft class here. We knew plenty about Sam Bennett and Aaron Ekblad and Draisaitl too.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
In that 14 draft where the Sabres ended up getting Reinhardt, now Bennett reads like the guy who's going to, you know, every goal he scores in these playoffs here, and the reputation for being the playoff player grows, but yet you're talking about a guy that doesn't really get, you know, 60 points or 30 goals in regular season play. What do you think the future holds for him, recognizing that we haven't even really talked about this series yet, which hopefully we'll have a few moments to do after this? What do you think about Bennett and where he heads after this? Do you think he stays?
Well, he's done a great job for himself, right? I mean, you are already looking at him as being, you know, one of the top few free agents on the market, just like Reinhardt last year. Florida had ended up going to the wire, right? I mean, Florida didn't sign him until late, what is it, July 31st or whatever, before free agency opened. That might be the same thing here with Bennett. Florida's got $19 million under the cap. They've got Bennett. They've got Aaron Ekblad. They've got that Brad Marchand fellow, which, you know, I don't think that he's going to stick around. And then you've got to fill out your team. So that $19 million is going to get sucked up pretty quickly. But again, Sam Bennett, you know, there's talk about a $10 million deal. This is the same thing that was being said last year around Sam Reinhart. He's going to get $10 million. He's going to get $11 million, whatever it is. I think Sam Bennett's going to stay. He's going to get a fair deal. Bill Zito has made it clear. We give our guys fair deals, and they understand that to keep the band together, sometimes you have to take a little bit less so the other guy gets a little bit less, but we're able to keep them together. Mm-hmm. Sam Bennett, and I haven't really said anything about this, Sam Bennett was the only Florida Panther player who was at Aaron Ekblad's cup party last year in Windsor, Ontario. Those two are tight. And, you know, if it means a little bit less to keep Aaron Ekblad, maybe that's what happens. But we'll have to wait and see.
Quickly on Marchand, George Richards, our guest for just a couple more minutes here, staying cool in his car in the parking lot in advance of Game 3, hopefully staying cool.
The air cranked, baby. The air is cranking.
I would hope. What has the Marsh, if this can be a short answer, I don't know, but maybe it could be very short. What has the Marchand impact been?
Unbelievable. Is that good enough? listen, everything the Panthers could have dreamed Brad Marchand would be, I think, has been exceeded. It took him a couple games to get going. He came to the Panthers. He was injured when the Panthers traded for him. So it took him a couple weeks to even get into the lineup. Yep. And then Paul Maurice was, you know, kind of playing around, seeing where he would fit. Ever since he went with Etu Lusterainen and Anton Lundell, on the right side of that third line, it's just been absolute fantastic hockey. The Tampa Bay Lightning had no answer for it. And we're like, okay, well, people are going to adjust to it. The Toronto Maple Leafs had no answer for it. Neither did the Carolina Hurricanes. The three of them together have been absolute fire. And Brad Marchand has just fit into this team as perfect as you could, as you could hope for. And I think you got to give credit to Sam Bennett for making the peace after all the stuff that went down between these two guys and these two teams. Let's not forget, Brad Marchand almost ended this run for the Florida Panthers before it even started. He had a breakaway in Game 5 in 22 that could have knocked the Panthers out in 5. He misses the shot. Florida ends up winning Game 5 and ends up winning that series. They end up upsetting those Boston Bruins in 7. And look at the Panthers now. Brad Marchand could have ended it before it even started. And now here he is, you know, hating the Panthers all, you know, for the last 2 years, grinding his teeth, getting knocked out by Sam Bennett last year. And now they're best buds and they're all going to Dairy Queen and, you know, all that stuff. So it's been, you know, the Panthers could not have hoped for anything better than that.
The series has been great so far in my eyes, 1-1 going into Game 3 tonight. I think Game 2 is going to be a very high bar to clear. That if not for the Four Nations face-off this year, I think that's the hockey game of the year. It just, especially early, had everything, including some bad blood about goalie collisions. You know, we talked about Bennett already, Corey Perry on the Edmonton side. Do you have a sense that that is just something that's going to continue here as the series shifts to Florida?
Well, we can only hope so, right? I mean, it's been terrific drama. You know, that's why sports, that's why all these networks are still paying big money for sports, is because you just never know what's going to happen. You've got to watch. You can't watch this on tape. You've got to watch it to live it. And these first two games have been absolute great theater. You hope it continues. There's no reason to expect it won't. These two teams are, you know, as close as two teams could be. If you look at any metric, I mean, they look like mirror images of each other's numbers wise. So it should be a lot of fun. And listen, with all the media that's here, the whole Sam Bennett running into goalies thing has just been amplified. Darnell Nurse was talking about it today, or Evander Kane was talking about it. Nurse talked about it yesterday. Evander Kane brought it up today. So, yeah, I mean, it should be a lot of fun tonight.
Evander Kane, Jeff Skinner, Evan Rodriguez, Montour, Kulikov, Reinhart. Yep. A lot of, well, I guess this is maybe to be expected these days with how much how many players the Sabres have been through. Oposo last year, former Sabres all over the finals again. Very good. George, bad news. Time to turn the car off and
now I gotta walk. Sweat
your way inside.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be schvitzing.
Thanks for your time today, George.
All right, fellas. Have a good one.
George Richards, FloridaHockeyNow.com on a game day. Oh, so much of that is just so gross. Marchand.
I know.
The sweat. I don't mean the sweat.
Yeah,
like
no.
The players.
How hot it is. Yeah, no. Reinhardt. It'll be hot here eventually. It's not today, but yeah.
Just the Saber life.
Yeah. I'm watching that game Friday night. I don't know. Between Bennett and his reputation and Marchand and just all of it, I don't know if I've ever loved and hated something as equally as I love and hate the Florida Panthers. And part of the reason I love them is because they do things that make me hate them. Like in hockey, that is, I don't know, it's not necessarily a requirement, but it certainly can get you, you know, to the next level. If you've got guys that are willing to do, you know, quote unquote, whatever it takes. And Bennett definitely has enhanced his reputation as a whatever it takes. Oh, you pushed me. Oh, now I have fallen on your goalie's knee. I mean, he's an artist, this guy.
I'm this way about chips.
You hate them so much that you love them?
I love chips, but when I'm eating them, it's usually like 11 at night when it happens, and doesn't happen as much as it used to, but just like, oh, I hate you chips. I hate you chips for being here.
So good and crunchy.
Right now, I do not need this right now, but I'm having it. Chips. The Florida Panthers, the chips of hockey. Okay, 803-0550 is the number. James Cook week, maybe. Guess only if he doesn't show, and seems like that's most people's expectation. We'd love to know what you would do if you were the Bills with Cook. Are you ready to pay him? Are you ready to trade him? 803-0550, again, the number. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.